This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our Pick 6 segment. We got to do it on Tuesday today. We almost all complete with Tulane at 4:20. John Sumrall, the head football coach of the Green Wave, will join us for our usual Tulane Tuesday segment. And at 4:40, Gary Smith does a fantastic job covering the Tulane football beat, also basketball, baseball for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, and also publisher of the Wave Report will come on to talk about its seven official guys that Tulane has signed through the transfer portal. We'll go through that. We'll give you a little LSU information to start. They basically wrapped up Destin Hill from Edna Carr, and he's part of the 2020 class of wide receivers that came out of Louisiana. And in that year, Destin was considered one of the top five or six players, not receivers, players in the state of Louisiana, went to Florida State, had some developmental time there, then has had battled with injuries. He gives LSU a big play guy, a guy that can stretch the field. So just think of that 2020 wide receiver class. They had Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. in 2020, both first-round picks. Keon Coleman for Opelousas High School, second-round pick, and the first overall pick in round two. Chris Hilton, who's currently still on the LSU team. I haven't heard anything about him transferring yet, but you always got to say the yet part of it, was part of that 2020 group. Jack Besh, who signed on with LSU, then transferred to TCU. This year, all Jack Besh did, he caught 62 passes, 1,034 yards, 9 touchdowns for TCU. Just think of that one class with Destin Hill, Hilton, Thomas, Nabers, Coleman, Besh. Charlie, that's out of one little state. One. Think about that.
Pretty good.
And out of the top 34 picks last year, three of them were picked.
And with, real quick, I mean, you mentioned Jack Besh. I wasn't expecting this, but, like, the light went off in my head. Mike, I can't wait to talk about your wide receiver rankings when we get to it, like, pre-draft and everything like that. Jack Besh, everything that was thrown his way, he caught this year for TCU. That's going to be a guy, I mean, I don't know, Mike. Maybe I'm a little bit too early asking for your wide receiver rankings. I think he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver prospect in the 2025 draft class.
Yeah, I think he'd be on the back end of that.
Yeah, but still a top 10 guy.
People, they always come, give me a comparison. And coming out of BYU, you know it. He's with the Rams today.
Puka.
He's got a lot of similarities because Puka played sort of that H position at BYU. You look at Jack, I know when he came to LSU, Coach O told me, I'm going to play him as a flex tight end. I want all those guys on the field because he knew what he had getting Hilton, Malik, Brian Thomas Jr. Now, he wasn't sure about Thomas, how quickly that would come around for him because he was sort of a neophyte. As far as a football player, he didn't start till his junior year playing football. He was a basketball track athlete. And so you think about that. Jack came in, and he was productive for LSU. And then the coaching change, he decides to go to TCU. Man, that was an unbelievable class. But good to see Destin Hill back in Louisiana and certainly can add to a wide receiver core that could use some veteran talent, experience. And I think they got one more guy they would like to land.
So, you know, I had it in the sports flash there, Mike, obviously, Nick Anderson. So when you're talking about Destin Hill, the former Carr athlete, and then obviously Berrian Brown, the former Kentucky athlete that was fantastic, had, I think, five kick returns for a touchdown in his career at Kentucky, which is incredible. You added a lot of speed to the position. And you already had Nick Anderson and Xavion Thomas. You already have speed. But I think, you know, we've talked about it, and you heard from Zach Nagy there last night when we had him on the show, Nick Anderson, kind of the big body contested catch receiver that you can go out and get, like kind of more of the X mold, where he's 6'4", he's listed at 215 pounds. I think that may be a little bit...
I don't want to get on that scale.
I think that may be a little bit heavy for him. I think he's closer to 200, but still, 6'4" frame, he can go up and make contested catches. Nagy called him the possession receiver, and I kind of agree with him there.
Looked at him as a freshman... He was not a possession guy. He was a stretch-the-field guy for the Sooners. He really was. He had a great freshman year. And then last year, he got beset with a bunch of injuries and just never could come around health-wise.
Yeah, and that's why you had Bower Sharp leading them in receptions and receiving yards.
And
this past
he's
year.
On LSU's team,
and
too.
And he's on LSU's team as well. So.
And so they give him a pass-catching tight end, and he's a solid blocker. He'll give you some good effort. I first saw him at Southeastern. He had made the position move from quarterback to tight end. Mm-hmm. He was a really good tight end with the Lions, and I said, it's no way he's going to finish up here. He's going somewhere else. Sure enough, he goes to Oklahoma and now back in Louisiana at LSU.
So to your point, Mike, you've already added speed at the position with Berrian Brown and now Destin Hill, but they're not done yet. And, you know, we'll probably see something coming out pretty soon here about Nick Anderson. I don't know if it's going to be today or this week or anything like that, but it should be coming very soon. But just adding another pass-catching weapon. And also, you know, talking about Bower Sharp, the tight end spot, I mean, you know, Brian Kelly talked a little bit about this when he was mentioning about the transfer portal, that they had some guys enter the portal that they weren't expecting. And I don't, like, obviously CJ Daniels was one of them, so you have to add another receiver because he entered the portal. But I don't know if they were expecting Kamorian Pimpton to enter the portal
either.
That
surprised me.
So you have Mason Taylor going to the draft for 2025, and you have Pimpton entering the portal. So, yes, you go out and get Bower Sharp, who's, you know, Brian Kelly talked a lot about him as a run-blocking tight end, but he can catch passes. He showed that this past year. But I think, you know, Nagy's onto something there, and I'm sure you've talked about it as well, Mike, that they're not done adding a tight end either.
Nope. It's kind of a shortage there. Also, too, before we go to break, want to congratulate a guy from the Bayou, and this got posted right after we went off the air last night on Second Guess. Kyron Lacy, former Thibodaux High School wide receiver, been at LSU, went to UL first, University of Louisiana, Raging Cajuns. I told him I still got that helmet he signed, Raging Cajuns. I said, I'm going to try to do a deal with Charlie.
Man, those Cajun teams, like, they had some athletes, Mike.
They sure did. Kyron got an invitation to play at the Senior Bowl, accepted it, and I'm glad to see him go to Mobile. I think he can really help himself out. Kyron's more the big physical possession guy. Now, every once in a while, if you don't respect his speed, he'll run right past you. But first time I ever saw him wasn't playing football. He was a great basketball player.
Oh.
High school. He helped Coach Clark and Thibodaux High win a state championship in basketball. He was a hell of a basketball player. So if he tries to con you getting you into a basketball game for cash, don't do it.
No, I mean, the Senior Bowl, it's we talk about this every year, Mike, when it comes around. It's a huge scouting event for every team in the NFL. So as you mentioned, if you get the invite, take it. It can only help your draft stock.
I agree, and I would think he'll probably be one of the top 65 players picked.
Oh, wow,
you know,
really?
I think he'll be, you know, in that late second, early third area.
Okay.
This is a chance to move yourself up. Get out there and beat everybody one-on-one. And you can do it because you've got the size, the athleticism's there, and he's become a much more consistent receiver catching the ball. He's no longer a body snatcher. He catches it out front with his hands. So congratulations, Kyron. I know you listen every once in a while, so throw it out to you, but proud of you. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870, and it's our Tulane Tuesday segment. John Sumrall, the head football coach of the Green Wave, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. It's our Tulane Tuesday segment, and it's brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We have the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall. John, thanks so much for joining us. Man, the last week, I know you hadn't nothing to do. You just kind of laid
boring,
back.
Huh, coach?
You don't have too much to do. I was talking to a coach today, and he was like, "Mike, I never thought I'd live long enough to see this. Are we preparing for a bowl game?" And then we got the transfer portal, so we work in both ends of the street. We're trying to keep the guys, and we're trying to bring in some guys. And he said, "Yo, I never thought we'd see this set up in this time frame." He said, "I get it. But, man, that puts a lot of pressure on you, and you don't get a lot of sleep."
Man, you're lucky if you get to take a nap, all right? I tell you what, you know, we were playing a conference championship game not too long ago, and we had the same week as that, we had signing day. And then the Monday after the conference championship game, the transfer portal opens. And then we're playing a bowl game this Friday. And then our guys will go home the 20th after our game. We play Friday afternoon. They'll go home. The transfer portal closes the 28th. We get back. We play our game Friday afternoon at 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central. We're going to land Friday night, and we're going to host probably about 8 to 10 official visitors on Saturday and Sunday. They're transfer guys. And so it's like, you know, I don't know, half the time I got so many different things we're juggling now. It's like, all right, am I working on our roster for next year and keeping the guys we got, getting new guys, playing a game we still got to play against a really good Florida team. And it's just so many things going on. You know, you'd love for there to be a cleaner break where it's like, hey, this is the season. I think college basketball does a little bit better job.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the season ends. All right, then coaching changes happen, and then player movement happens where we're our season's not even over. And we got players going here, there, and everywhere. We got, you know, all the coaching stuff happens during that time, too. And so it definitely makes it a little more chaotic, and I think it's kind of disjointed in some regards. But I can't complain. All I can do is work, and we can deal with the, you know, the circumstances we have, and we can adapt to what we have, or we can die. So we're going to adapt.
Coach, throwing it to the game for this coming Friday against Florida, one of the things with Billy Napier, and he had this kind of run at UL, very successful there, but his offense really was geared around running the football. And he had not only two backs, three backs that were really good. And he sort of hit you a bunch of different ways running the ball. And he set up the passing game. Now, he didn't have a quarterback like DJ Lackway at UL,
yeah.
But man, I look at it again, and once they got healthy, They had the freshman and Jaden Ball, who's a really talented guy, and then Jacoby Jackson, and then Montrell Johnson, who I saw back in high school at De La Salle.
Yep,
he started at UL.
Yeah, former Cajun.
And now he's with them. They again have that three-headed monster running the ball. And that is difficult because all of them do things a little bit differently. That's a huge challenge when you talk about trying to stop the running game when all three of those guys are healthy.
No, they're really good, man. They run the ball at a high level. Billy does a great job. A lot of respect for him and his staff. And we got to spend some time together last night and just – you know, they're really well coached. They got really good players. They run the, like you said, all the backs are good. Where they've really kind of gotten a shot in the arm is when this young quarterback came in. You know, the Lagway kid, everybody's kind of a little uneasy when you throw a youngster in. Well, golly, I think if they play him all year, they might not have lost a daggum game, it seems like. I mean, he's a different dude now. I mean, he's got an unbelievable arm. He runs it great. He seems like a really smart and heady kid. I think they're really, really good with him in there. I mean, look, the last month, I think they're playing as good a football as anybody in America. You know, they beat Ole Miss, they beat LSU. You know, they've just really been on kind of a tear this last month or so. And offensively, they run the ball, they take good play action shots off the run game, and the quarterback, he steps up, and the runners are good too.
Coach, one of the things, I remember this was after the first game of the year when Florida played Miami of Florida. Coach O was in the stands, his two sons. Now, you got one of the sons on your side. He's got the twins, and they were at Miami of Florida. And Graham Mertz gets knocked out, okay? And DJ comes in, and he told me, man, if they play anybody else other than Lagway, something's wrong. And then he gets hurt also. So, man, you see a young freshman quarterback, and he's everything that he was built to be when he came out of high school. You see the poise, the size with him. He's not necessarily a runner, but he can buy you a little time with his feet. But he's got a rifle to get that ball in between arms and hands.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a really, really talented quarterback. I tell you, I just walked in our team hotel. I'm on the radio. And I got a guy next to me that's a pretty good quarterback named Michael Pratt with me. Because we're down here playing in Tampa. And so we got to practice with the Bucks today. I just walked in our team hotel. I could see his beautiful face. But, yeah, the Lagway kid's playing at a high level, man. He's an elite player. I think they've gotten better when he's gotten inserted to the lineup. Not knocking the Graham Mertz guy who was playing earlier in the year. But this kid is a special talent. And, he's kind of become a straw that serves a drink, if you will. I mean, that thing looks a lot better with him in there right now.
Real quick, Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts on Florida's defense because Mike and I talked a lot about that when we were previewing LSU versus Florida, you know, near the end of the season, how they really struggled giving up explosive plays. But I think they tightened up at the end of the season. That's also a big reason why, obviously, you know, they can run the ball and they can control the clock. But I think that, you know, their defense really tightening up at the end of the season is why they kind of went on that run as well.
Oh, yeah. No, look, they're front, man. They're front people. They got some creatures up there, man. It's 88 and it's 99. Like, some of these guys in their D-line, they're grown men. They look like Sunday players, you know what I mean? And so they're really, really talented. They've kind of, I think, shored things up defensively. The season's gone. They've improved week to week as the year's gone along. And, you know, Ron Roberts is defensive coordinator. He's got a lot of Louisiana connections, too. He used to be the head coach of Southeastern. Yep. With Billy at Lafayette. And their players, they're so talented. I mean, I watch them on tape. I'm like, yeah, this is an SEC team. It's what they're supposed to look like, kind of. And so they're playing good football on that side of the ball, too. And we got to just try to find a way to play clean and protect the ball and not self-inflict anything because, you know, this other bunch are playing, they're really good, and we can't beat ourselves.
Coach, with Ty Thompson, and I told you this before, I got a lot of respect for the way he handled the situation. He came here, I think, just like anybody would. I'm going to be the starter. And then, you know, Darian comes in and he becomes the guy. And Ty has to take a kind of supplemental role, backup role. But he had a role, and you guys kind of ran a certain packages with him in it. Now he becomes the guy. And this is sort of a feature game for him, and also give him credit that he said, I'm going to get in the transfer portal. But he didn't get out of the game. He's going to play, and it's kind of a feature game for him. So whatever happens with him after the game, God bless him. But how he's handled this, you really couldn't ask anybody to handle it any better.
No, I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Ty. He's a quality teammate. Sorry, my wife's trying to talk to him. I don't know what she's asking me. He's a quality teammate. That's usual. I don't always know what's going on there. But he's a quality teammate. He's a really hard worker. He's, when things weren't maybe going the way that he wanted, when we named Darren the starter, and I think a lot of guys in that situation, they would have maybe gotten disgruntled, maybe become toxic with the locker room. Man, he freaking handled it with unbelievable class. He supported Darian. He was like a big brother to Darian. And so when we sat down last week and he said, hey, coach, what does my role look like if I'm back here? I said, well, we can talk through that. I said, I don't know that maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Like, we talked about what those options may look like. And he said, would you mind if I, still played in the game, but express my intent to maybe go into the portal just to see what options would be available to me, because the young man does, I think, in his heart want to play quarterback. And I mentioned to him, hey, it doesn't mean you can't be here, but I've also told him here we may want to try to figure out how to continue to grow your package as an athlete if you're not the Q. And he wants to chase the quarterback thing, it seems like. And not saying they won't be here, but I wanted to allow him to at least check and see what his options would look like. And so he's handled it with a lot of class, a lot of respect to the young man. He's a phenomenal guy, and like I said, hats off to him for how he's done this, because a lot of guys would have maybe tapped out immediately when they didn't get what they wanted earlier in the year.
Coach, I don't know if you can talk about specific players that you've picked up in the portal. One of the things I would think you're going to try to concentrate on would be in the secondary. For me, you never got enough good cover people. I don't care if they play corner or safety. Those are the guys that I got to kind of load up on, because the game has dramatically changed now as 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. So you're playing in nickel a lot of times as a base, dime, on second and third down. And is that an area you will look at once the bowl game's over with? Because I see you haven't signed anyone specifically yet that you've announced at Tulane. Is that a place that you would say, Tulane fans, I'm trying to hit that pretty hard for the cornerback safety positions?
No question. Corner in particular, I need guys that can go play match coverage and get more sticky in coverage. So corner and nickel, we've got starting level opportunities available there with what our depth chart looks like. And I think you can't ever have enough good cover guys, in particular, like I said, safety is a little different skill set. These corner guys, these nickel guys, they can go lock somebody up. We've brought a couple in on visits. They're all highly sought after. I want to chase the best of the best. And so the ones we're in on right now, they're getting a lot of attention. We're going to fight to try to get the top guys we can get. We've got to reload there. We really got to go. We got several areas. Obviously, quarterback's one that we got to go address that maybe wasn't in the cards, a few weeks ago. And that's now one that we got to get going. And then corner, D-line, O-line, and receiver are really the other four that, like, we got to go kind of attack. And so I like where we're at. I think moving forward with some of these O linemen that we're in on, I like where we're at with maybe a couple of these D linemen. We got to go get these skill guys, the receiver and DB, to hop on board, because there's immediate playing time available at those two spots as well. And you can't ever have enough DBs. I got a defensive background. I love having a lot of good DBs. It allows you to be multiple and do a lot of different things.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know it's a tight schedule and you got a lot of things you're juggling, but we appreciate you coming on with us. And, man, good luck Friday against the Gators.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a great one.
Thanks,
Thank
Coach.
You.
Head Coach John Sumrall, the Tulane Green Wave head football coach. He got a lot of things going. That Tulane Tuesday segment is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. Staying with the Tulane beat, we're going to go to Gary Smith right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, he covers the Tulane Green Wave, does a great job for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of thewavereport.com, Gary Smith. Gary, I know you're preparing for a game this coming Friday as Tulane plays Florida, but then, bang, you got this transfer portal stuff, and that kind of muddies the water a little bit as you're preparing for it. Tulane has officially announced 7 signees. T.J. Finley was a guy, the quarterback, and man, I got to know him when he was at Ponchatoula, then he comes to LSU, and then Auburn, and then Texas State, and then Western Kentucky. So this is his 5th go around. Were you surprised that that's the direction they went to first with T.J. Finley?
Yes, a little, but no, I'm actually not surprised because I already knew that that was the direction they were going into. But I am surprised that they wanted to go in that direction. We'll see how it works out. I mean, obviously, they have a pretty dang good track record at quarterback, and they're very confident that with a run first system and play action and stuff like that, the same thing that worked for Darian Mensah, who left Tulane as the 6th most efficient passer in the country, that T.J. Finley can have a lot more success than he really kind of did anywhere he's been. He had really good numbers at Texas State last year, but then they recruited over him and basically forced him to leave. It's interesting. 5 schools in 6 years. He says he thinks he has 2 years of eligibility left. But yeah, it's not done yet either. I mean, John Sumrall clearly stated on Saturday that he wants to bring in 2 quarterbacks that have started in college and another one that hasn't, that has played in college but may not have started. So I don't think it's now over and T.J. Finley is the definitive starter. But clearly he's a guy they believe they can win with.
Well, he just got off with us and he basically said that. I'll say you this, Gary. You'll now find a bigger quarterback than him. Man, that dude is big. You talk about it. Man, he's built like a defensive end.
If you remember, when he arrived at LSU, he weighed north of 260 pounds. He lost about 25 pounds during COVID. But 6'7", 235, that range, he is a big dude. I did notice at Texas State last year, he got sacked 29 times. That's a lot of sacks. I don't know their system. I don't have any idea what the offensive line was like. But, if you're going on size, he's going to win any contest anywhere.
And he got a rifle. Man, can he throw it? He's just got to be more accurate with his throws. On the defensive side, the one guy that stuck out to me, Ty Cooper, who was at Mississippi State, started that linebacker slot. I'm sure they're going to use him as a rush in with the Green Wave because I think that's what he can do very well.
Yeah, and shout out to Ty Cooper because I texted 5 of these guys, and he's the one guy that returned my call today. So he's already my favorite of the transfers. I'm just kidding there, but I was able to reach, and there's a guy who was a all SEC academic selection at Mississippi State. His numbers haven't been spectacular there. This year was his best year in 4 years. He had 29 tackles, but he's a player. They envision him as a rush end at the position they call Bandit. He's really, really excited to come to Tulane because I feel like he feels like he's been underutilized a little bit in his career, and he's expecting to have a huge – he's a grad student. He's coming in, and he's expecting to have a huge impact next year.
They got to have a connection at Florida Atlantic. And you signed a running back and a receiver from there.
Yeah.
So there is somebody on that staff that has tried to recruit those guys that has that connection to Florida Atlantic and them signing Zaberi Mobley, the running back from Florida Atlantic, and Omari
Hayes. Omari Hayes,
yeah,
the wide receiver.
There. And last year, I watched him play. I think he caught almost 40 passes there. three or four touchdowns, almost 600 yards in receptions. So that helps. And Coach Summerall just brought up to us that he was looking to add to the wide receiver group.
I mean, Hayes, his numbers again, everything went wrong at Florida Atlantic this year. It was kind of hard to figure. They weren't supposed to win the conference, but they were supposed to be in the, you know, fourth, fifth range, and they were just terrible this year. But he has a ton of talent. Tulane, you want to talk about opening. All three of Tulane's productive wide receivers this year are not coming back next year. They're all seniors, so they need to hit the portal hard at that position. John Summerall said as much again on Saturday, and certainly Omari Hayes. They want to do better than they did last year. They brought in two guys. They brought in a guy from Central Florida and a guy from Idaho who then exited at the end of spring drills after not making much of an impact. I don't think Omari Hayes is that kind of player. I think he can be a big time producer for Tulane.
Gary, the last couple games for Tulane, they got away from what won for them early, and that was running the football, controlling the clock, and stopping the run. And they got gashed in the rushing game.
Yeah,
they
no
didn't
doubt.
Stop any of that. And almost like they unplugged. I think they got away from the running game a little too quick, to be honest with you. Because, you know, you say, man, I got to get back in this. I got to throw the football. But that's not what you built around. You really built around running the ball and controlling the clock. If they got a chance here against Florida, they've got to be able to run the football, and they've got to stop that three-headed monster that the Gators have in the backfield.
No doubt. And I think one advantage Tulane might have in this game is how seriously is Florida treating this game. I know they had another player enter the transfer portal today. I'm not sure an SEC team coming off huge, massive wins at the end of the year is going to be as motivated going into this game as Tulane will be. But it's a massive challenge, no matter how you look at it. Because you're right, Tulane really didn't do anything well in those last two games. It was just so uncharacteristic. They were, to your point, Tulane was second in the nation in time of possession to Army going into those last two games, and barely possessed the ball at all in either one of those games. And you're right, Mekhi Hughes has to be a huge factor in this game. Due to Barnes, they need to win first down against Florida, because Florida 19 sacks in their last three games this year against LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida. I mean, and Florida State. You don't want to get in second and long and third and long against that team, or it spells trouble.
Yeah, you're right about that. I was talking to Coach Summerall about this, and I'll get your thoughts on Ty Thompson. You know, he came here from Oregon. He was going to be the man. Okay, he was going to be the starting quarterback. And then he goes through the deals, and all of a sudden, a young redshirt freshman beats him out. He could have sat and sulked about it. And yet, they built a package. He did play a role. Mm-hmm. It was a supplemental role, but still a role. Now, he's in a strange position now. I think he wants to still play quarterback. They're going to give him that shot in this game. It's a showcase game for him. Because I think a lot of people would like him, but might not necessarily be at quarterback, to be honest with you. Might be more as a receiver or flex tight end. Mm-hmm. But it shows a lot about his character that he didn't bolt, that he stayed here and said, you know what, I'm going to play the game.
Right, and you could tell that from day one because – look, clearly he came to Tulane to be the starting quarterback. He was so frustrated. He was the number 10 rated high school player in the country at any position coming out of high school. He spent 3 years never starting a game at Oregon, only playing mop-up duty. He was devastated, and you wouldn't have known it. He was bouncing around the field really from day one after Darian Mensah was named the starter. They did create that package for him. He was successful in it. I love John Summerall saying that if you take this zip code, you're not going to find a better athlete than Ty Thompson. This guy, he's 230 pounds and 6'4" and can run. Again, Tulane, I think Tulane, obviously with Tulane's plans in the offseason, Tulane does not see him as their starting quarterback next year. If he were to stay, he would have to compete for the job, and he wouldn't be the favorite to win it. Like you said, that might be the case at a lot of other schools, and this is a chance for him to change that belief. If he can come out and have a fantastic game against Florida, whether it's at Tulane or more likely somewhere else, he may get that chance that he's been craving his whole career.
I got to salute him, because I'll be honest with you. A lot of people would not have done what that young man did.
90% of people would have flunked after coming with his credentials, with his press clippings coming out of high school, getting beaten out by a guy who had never played and was a two-star recruit, who Willie Fritz didn't even bother trying to bring to Houston with him, by the way, when he went to Houston. let's get that out there. He handled it. That when John Summerall says he loves this guy and can't wait to see him play and hopes for his success, he means every word of it.
Gary, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's been a hugely busy week for you, and I hate to break it to you. It ain't going to get no better.
It ain't. And I'm on my way to the airport in 30 minutes because I'm actually headed to Florida today to get there for tomorrow. So, yeah, I was expecting. I had to rush my packing job because I've been working all day.
Gary, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All righty. Gary Smith, who covers the Tulane Greenway, beat writer for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, also publisher of thewavereport.com. Charlie, for LSU and Tulane, this is not going to finish. This transfer portal, we're going to run this to the end of the month.
Just confirming here, it closes on the 28th?
28th.
Yeah, so we have 11 more days of craziness. So stay tuned.
And there's a part two in the spring.
Yeah, you're right.
And so
the post spring football portal opens up as well.
Oh, but, goodness.
I mean, we kind of hit on it with Gary there. Like the spots that they've already added, the spots where they still need to add. I mean, Tulane's got some holes that they're going to have to fill for the 2025 roster. And Gary brought up a great point because, I mean, all the receivers that are leaving for him too, like Dante Fleming, Mario Williams, like all the production that they had there, not going to be there next year.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll get a healthy Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he can come back. We saw a little bit of it late in the year. We'll be back to close it out here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, be our NFL run in the 5 o'clock hour. Mark Schlereth will join us, our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll talk a lot. Saints NFL right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.